It is the 1st of March. It's March already. And even though the weather this weekend is supposed to be spring-like, we're still a long way from lush farmers markets around our area. But that doesn't mean that there isn't anything going on with those markets. So today on the morning show, we're talking with Jesse Davis. Jesse promotes the Grand Rapids Farmers Market and is a manager of member services for the statewide Minnesota Farmers Markets Association. And he's also a farmer. Jesse is joining us now to talk about what's going on with the Grand Rapids Farmers Market. It's the off season, Jesse. Is there an off season for a farmer?
Sadly, no. There's no off season. You know, you'd like to think that, but this is the time where you're repairing fences, you're rebuilding things in your hoop house, you're fixing your tractors and your equipment, and you're gazing lustily at the seed catalogs. And, you know, so it's true that we're not out planting or anything like that, but certainly, you know, for some of our vendors, they're planning what they're going to do, especially for some of these folks that do like hanging baskets and plants, flowers, things like that. They order their plug spawn, you know, in December. Uh-huh. And so it's definitely, you have to think ahead.
So are some of those greenhouses starting up, all, you know, people already getting things going?
Oh, you bet. You bet. And you can imagine with that string of warm weather that we had just a little while back, I mean, those greenhouses were, you know, 75, 78 degrees in there. I mean, tropical weather. So, you know, the ground inside of those is warming up. The frost is out. And so, you know, you always get so antsy this time of year. You want to get started, and then you worry, like, oh, shoot, you know, what happens if we get a huge dump of snow or a really long cold spell? You can't predict the weather that far ahead.
Well, you know, that sounds like typical farmer worry that, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes the weather is a big worry, and, you know, that freeze and thaw doesn't really help. It's nice if it just stays cold and slowly warms up, but that's really not what happens mostly, is it?
No, and that was something we were real concerned about with our garlic this year. You know, you plant garlic in the fall, usually mid-October. And you want it to stay pretty cold, and you know, 'cause you put mulch over it as well, so you're kind of keeping in a little bit of that heat, and you don't want the garlic to do much more than put down its roots before it goes dormant in the cold. And we were worried that it was going to start putting up green shoots and using some of that energy that it wouldn't have to put towards its growth in the spring. So, you know, It's definitely a roulette wheel. We'll see if we what we have come May when those little shoots start to poke out of the ground.
How much garlic do you plant? Can you quantify that in any way?
So we put in somewhere around 30,000 this year.
Whoa!
We had plans of doing about 50,000, maybe a little bit more. But we had almost half, 50% crop failure this year. Again, weather related. When we harvested in the end of July and the beginning of August, we had just had a lot of rain. I mean, the ground was just saturated. And then it was just so humid for weeks and weeks after. And, you know, typically we just hang these bundles up in the hay shed of our barn where there's good breezes. You know, it's out of the sunlight. It's a great place to dry and cure. But it was just so humid that, you know, a lot of it just rotted right in its shell. And it was really heartbreaking after you put all that work in to harvest it. So, but we've gotten over that for the most part, and we're looking forward to, you know, the 2017 season and kind of keeping our fingers crossed for a better year.
Now, the farmers markets around our area are organizing and getting ready for the new year. What is happening with the Grand Rapids Market?
So this will be our 31st year. And, you know, right at the moment, I think we've got about 32 different vendors. Of course, not all of those vendors are going to show up at the beginning. You know, some people just concentrate on early season crops, asparagus and, you know, wild ramps, morels, things like that. You know, me, I don't end up typically going to the market until August when my garlic's out. So it kind of depends on how many people are there, but we're always looking for new vendors to join us. And, you know, sometimes this will be, you know, younger families where the kids are maybe going to school, you know, or sometimes it's retirees who've always loved gardening and now they have the time to put, you know, show up at markets. So, you know, we get applications from all sorts of people. And these can be, you know, garden growers, soap makers, bakers, people who, you know, we have two different mushroom people now, someone who does smoked and pickled fish, people who raise meat and eggs. We've had some beautiful flower people, honey, maple syrup, wild rice. So it's just a real motley crew of different people and of course, different personalities. That's what makes a farmer's market so fun.
It is fun to go to the market. And, you know, what does it take? I've always wondered if you have a big garden and you often thought about farmer's marketing, you know, should you have like some area of expertise, something that you concentrate on? Is it best to do one main crop and a couple of side things, and do you have to get up to a certain amount to make it pay? What all goes into that decision?
Well, you know, it is a decision to think about, because when it comes down to it, you know, are you running this as a business or a hobby? And you can do either one, but if you're going to run it as a business, you need to look at what you're putting in and what you're putting out. And, you know, for some people, you know, you're definitely not paying yourself minimum wage for the time you put into it. But, you know, you're passionate about it. Mm-hmm. But that's one reason why we require people who want to sell at the farmers market to become members and pay an annual membership fee. And that's whether you show up once or you show up all 52 times. Because a common problem that you'll have at less organized farmers markets is, you know, you've got someone who's shown up every day, who's bringing customers day and day to the farmers market, and then someone's like, oh, shoot, I got a bumper crop of peppers. I'm just going to show up and sell them at a fire sale price, you know, and they pay a daily fee of, you know, $5 or $10 and totally undercut the person who's made that long-term investment in the market. So we do kind of, you know, have that upfront cost to encourage these vendors to think about how am I going to recoup that expense in the long term by being a more integral part of the market.
So this is how you balance, you know, various people in the market, their needs and their goals for growing food.
Certainly. And then, of course, you know, I mean, we are a nonprofit. All of that money goes towards, you know, our EBT SNAP program and our credit card machine, which enables every single vendor at the farmers market to accept credit card payments as well as food assistance, SNAP, or what some people still refer to as food stamps. And, you know, also just you know, we have the person who runs that card machine gets paid, you know, pretty low wage, but we do pay them. You know, we've got advertising and printing expenses. So, you know, those fees all are needed, too. So it definitely helps.
We are talking to Jesse Davis from the Grand Rapids Area Farmers Market. He's a farmer and he also works with other farmers markets around the state. And we're talking about opportunities for local growers to join the market. Jesse, looking back at the 2016 market season, is there anything that was memorable for you?
Well, I tell you, it was sure a long growing season. I mean, we could have extended our market, which typically starts in the very beginning of May and goes to the end of October, weather permitting. We could have stretched that into November. I mean, there was just a lot of beautiful fall produce, you know, your squash, your cabbages, apples, Brussels sprouts, carrots, parsnips, potatoes. It was beautiful. And, of course, that's always a challenge after Labor Day when the kids go back in school. You see you know, sales really start to take a dive. And yet in the Northwoods, that's when we really start to have the best produce, you know. But it definitely was a great growing season, and we just had a wonderful year with our food assistance program. We're very lucky to have both local and state funding sources that allow us to match what people spend on food assistance 2-to-1 at the market. So, you know, a family with a couple of young kids can come to the farmer's market, spend $10 of their food assistance, and walk out with $30 worth of fresh produce. And all of our vendors just get such a kick out of these kids going around with the little matching coupons and choosing their vegetables, which ones they want, and they're so proud. You can tell they just can't wait to get home and eat that cucumber or that rainbow carrot or that, you know, the little sweet crab apples that the fiddle dyes grow. So it was really kind of a fun thing. We actually were so successful that we ran out of our local funding source. You know, we had budgeted kind of similar to what we had had the previous year, and the program grew so much. In fact, statewide, farmers market sales connected to food assistance were up by like 70%. So it's definitely a statewide phenomenon that people are, you know, learning that they can access local food and keep their food assistance dollars in a local economy. And people are really starting to, you know, have some different habits of shopping at the farmers market. So that was definitely a big thing that was, making us pretty proud this year. This past season, I should say.
You know, that the idea that people with low income can shop at farmers markets is a wonderful thing, because when the local food movement was just getting going, that was one of the criticisms, is that, you know, the good local produce was priced beyond what a lot of poor people could pay. And now this seems like a great solution to that.
Well, and it's our hope, too, that, maybe going forward, the average family is only on food assistance for 6 months. You know, there's that common misconception that people use those sort of support services from the cradle to the grave. Mm-hmm. But that those families, you know, later on, maybe those kids are the ones that grow up and have a quarter-acre garden in their big backyard and start growing produce at the market. The farmers market movement, if you will, is often credited with starting in California, although ours would have been starting in the 80s as well. But it wasn't in chic neighborhoods. It was in food deserts, in places where there really was no access to fresh food. And so, you know, there's definitely a movement of, you know, social justice and food access, bringing food to people who don't have access to it, kind of embedded in our farmers market DNA.
Yeah. So are you and Warren going to try anything new with your farm this year? What's your plan?
Well, you know, before we had that crop failure, we were looking at this modified potato digger that would actually kind of harvest our garlic for us partially. It digs underneath the ground, underneath those roots of the garlic, and then it's kind of like a shaky, giant kind of hollow conveyor belt, and it just kind of brings those potatoes or carrots or whatever root vegetables, in our case garlic, out of the ground. And hand harvesting 30,000 heads of garlic is just not so much fun. It's definitely a family and friend affair. You know, we always feed and offer cold beverages, alcoholic or non-alcoholic, to our volunteers that come out. But it's still just a ton of work. But, you know, at $5,000 for a used machine, you know, it's like, oh, you know, can we justify that? So we'll see if we decide to take the plunge on that. We're looking at putting in some new cherry trees. We've been looking at these dwarf cherry trees that are actually really quite sweet. You could eat, typically up in this area, it would just be tart cherries, ones that you would can and put into pies or things like that. But they have some cherries now that are good for up to zone 2, which is, you know, we're zone 3B here. So, and they're good for eating out of hand. So I think that might be our fun little, you know, treat. We don't plan on making any money off of those, but we do love our cherries. And then, you know, I'm not sure. We've still haven't put in our seed catalog orders. We'll definitely be looking at some different daikon radishes. We love those for making our kimchi. And Savoy cabbage, we always like to try a couple different varieties of that. That's that real kind of crinkly leaf cabbage that's just so sweet and so beautiful at the market. It really kind of... It's always nice to have something on your market stand where people are like, what's that? Mm-hmm. You know, and so when you have a foot-long daikon, that's one way, like, oh, my God, what is that monstrous thing? Or you've got a beautiful, you know, cabbage patch, doll cabbage, you know, that definitely draws people's attention to your stand.
So it sounds like you are approaching this year with some ideas and some fun and with some knowledge of what will make somebody come to your market stand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we are having our meeting this coming Monday. We have meetings during the winter and spring the first Monday, and we do that at Second Harvest, who's been just a wonderful partner for us. They've got a great little kitchen there and then a boardroom, and we, you know, do just make sure we've got our budgets figured out and things like that. But in the springtime, this is an opportunity for potential vendors to come and ask questions and talk to us. You know, everything has to be grown within 50-mile radius of Grand Rapids. So, but that goes down, you know, pretty far. I mean, that could be up to Hibbing and, you know, down almost close to Aiken and out, you know, almost to Floodwood, if not to Floodwood. So it's something like 7,800 square miles or something that's in that circle. So there's definitely a potential for a lot of folks to come and join. Go ahead.
Is that the way it is for most farmers markets, where there's a 50-mile radius?
You know, the 50-mile is just something that we chose, but almost all markets have some definition of what makes local. Mm-hmm. There are very few markets that will allow, like, reselling. You know, occasionally, like, I know Minneapolis will allow a few select vendors to resell things like lemons and limes and things like that. And their argument is, hey, we're making the market more convenient for others, and they pay a higher price. Personally, I kind of feel like that gives the wrong impression of all farmers markets. You know, you see bananas sold at one farmers market, and then, you know, skeptics say, well, I told you it was just a sham. You know, when you're down in the cities, you know, there's definitely quite a few people coming over from Wisconsin. And then when you're down on the border, say Albert Lea or Austin, you certainly have some farmers coming from northern Iowa. But, you know, we're always on the lookout for, you know, and people want it. They come to market in June, and they're like, where's the sweet corn? Where's the watermelon? It's like, well, it'll be here in August, if we're lucky. So it's something that most markets have something in there that make sure that people know it. It's a locally raised product.
Jesse, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And, you know, if there's any questions at all, the email address to send it to is manager@grfarmersmarket.org. You can also go to our Facebook page, message there. We're real good about responding to folks that might be interested in our products, our vendors, or becoming a vendor themselves. So thank you both. Have a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday.
Great. You too.
You too.
All right. Bye.
The next Grand Rapids Farmers Market meeting is this coming Monday, which is March 6th, and they're meeting at Second Harvest North Central Food Bank in Grand Rapids, and the deadline to join the market is April 3rd. You can call us if you'd like more information, 800-662-5799. And you are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show on Northern Community Radio.